So, coming up on your archive is the March 15th, 2021 edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Going to be following in this show a lot of fallout from the Tuesday shitty council meeting's passage of essentially the skeletal, and I do mean skeletonic in more ways than one, even though it's not Halloween, outline or structure of a essentially Return of the Living Dead camping ban, which is the ordinance that was originally created in 1978 to deal with what reactionaries in the city, perhaps just ordinary prejudiced folks, or folks who have that cast of mind, called undesirable transient elements, that is to say, hippies, folks passing through, poor people outside, hobos, bums, you name it, depending on how you looked at them. In essence, it's treating groups of people as though they were not fully human beings or fully entitled or fully authorized to be there or illegitimate or illegal, like both the Biden, Trump, Obama, and previous administrations have treated undocumented workers coming in from different countries, or any oppressed groups in the past, whether we're talking about blacks, Latinos, women, gays, disabled folks, elderly folks, young folks. Anyway, any group that does not meet with the full approval of the inspecting and ever-powerful central upper-middle class, I guess, although it's increasingly in the hands of an even smaller, the 1%, so to speak, at the top, or the structure that has been created that, in essence, binds everyone, including that 1%, to this kind of rat race, this climbing pyramid, this deforming form of, well, some call it capitalism. Some comment on the patriarchy or the white supremacy aspect of it. Some describe it as wage slavery or rent slavery. All these things actually are applicable in my view. But my particular concern has to do with the shitty treatment of people outside and exposing that. And in the past, my, I don't want to say my hope, but my objective, perhaps without real hope, has been that exposing the inequities, exposing the just the basic nasty unfairness of things, the outrageous abuses, will restore and awaken again conscience in people wherever and whoever they are. It's a hard sell against a very traditional, cynical, well-conditioned set of views that all of us, or many of us, are brought up with, having to do with money and power and what you have to do to get ahead and what sanity really consists of and all that sort of thing. In other words, the normal. Anyway, the most recent issue, of course, has been the camping ban ordinance return, the zombified camping ban, which we're going to pick up some of the protest discussion, probably a lengthy discussion of what kind of real resistance can be mounted to this, other than nasty letters to the Times and one-minute phone calls at oral communications and public comment. What can really be done to materially change the situation, whether it's people picking up fences and returning them to the police department, or sitting in offices until the people in the offices decide they better open up the bathrooms, or, and these are of course minor and small things, but they're real things. And if you add and sum them all up, they may amount to a lot more than at first glance seems to be, well, what they look like from a distance. So we're going to check over probably the commentary from the street by people on Pacific Avenue passing by when some of us set up a table. And we're talking about doing that again. If you're listening to this on the 15th, which is when it's first being netcast, this show, there's going to be a 365 days of COVID survival sort of celebration at the Food Not Bombs locale, which is currently right next to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union in the public parking lot there. Lot 27, it's called, even though they've been forbidden to be there. That's going to be happening throughout the afternoon. If I can make it, and I think I probably will be making it, I'm going to be there tabling for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at least between 1:30 and 2:30, maybe longer through the afternoon, to seeing if people are interested in signing up for a continuing Pacific Avenue tent downtown to essentially raise the issue in a visually straightforward, out front, and you can't dodge it, you can't hammer it away, you can't hide it approach, which may involve being hammered away, hidden, and dumped, and who knows, ticketed by the police department if this protest ever gets going. Not with the expectation that we are illegal, I don't think we are, but I think that that's the purpose of these laws, and police often, they kind of predate the laws and their act and their practices, because a lot of the city council's behavior is initiated by the police department and is really an ex post facto legalization of prior police department, what some would call illegal or at least beyond the law, or curbside justice, or I would say, of course, curbside injustice. In other words, a lot of the anti-homeless laws in years past are essentially a codification of what the police were doing in the months before and needed to get justification for it, and so they did through the interposition of downtown merchants like Neil and Ryan Coonerty, through one-time progressives like Scott Kennedy and Mike Rotkin and Catherine Byers and people of that ilk. It's kind of, whether it's one segment of the ruling class or another, it's the ruling class still, which fundamentally is not interested in basic civil rights for poor people, at least not to the extent of actually pressing for laws and police policies that will actually do that. However, they may wring their hands about the difficulties of those outside and the pathetic plight that they're in, and how let's set up a few shelters, let's give them little cards and tell them where to go so they can perhaps wait outside the shelter until space becomes available, or in the meantime use the old hideout or get out practice, which is the traditional Santa Cruz survival tactic and police strategy here in Santa Cruz. So, anyway, let's begin and see where it goes.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with some issues that have been raised recently by Brent Adams of the one time of the Warming Center, still of the Warming Center, but infrequently open because of the constraints of staff and his own self-imposed constraints about when he will open up in terms of weather conditions. He also has been working with a group called Homeless Outside, Santa Cruz Homeless Coalition, Sanctuary Villages, and Footbridge Services, which has to do with day and night storage, showers, and other, I think, really key and important provisions that the county and the city aren't really providing in the way that Brent is in his attempt to be as expansive as possible. He claims he's endlessly expansive. I don't think that's true, but I think it's true that he certainly, given his resources, tries to do as much much more proportionately than the city does. No question about that. And you've heard me just to talk with Brent on this show in the past, and haven't been able to reach him in the last couple of months. When I talked to him earlier today, he said that he wasn't giving interviews, but I said, how about something brief? And he said, I think he said we might be able to do that later in the day. And this is being recorded on Saturday, the day before it's being netcast on Sunday the 15th. So before I give Brent a call, and traditionally I found he just either doesn't answer or doesn't return calls, or both. although, as today seemed to be an exception, I want to give you, in his own words, what his concerns are, and then my thoughts in response to that. He has a particular burr in his saddle regarding Food Not Bombs and the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, which I've had my own difficulties with the Santa Cruz Homeless Union of a different sort, perhaps. But that's not, you know, the issue really is that we all have a really common, much more powerful opponent here, and that's the city government, the downtown association, the West Side neighbors, the various neighborhood groups that are really pressing to criminalize homeless people. And that's, I think, the concern that we share, although Brent does seem to be often veering very close to his agreement camps, which isn't a bad idea to actually have agreements with the neighbors as to good rules of conduct and when you come into the camp and so forth. But the issue isn't, to me, it's fundamentally misleading to suggest that's really the problem with homeless people is bad conduct. That's not really the problem. And I think Brent also recognizes this because he, as well as the rest of us, has commented with some anger and outrage about the failure the last two winters, maybe more, to have the city's not even having a winter shelter program for disabled folks to go into. Not that it's ever been adequate, it hasn't, and it just didn't exist at all the last two winters. And of course, the misstatements made by Susie O'Hara and now by Lee Butler, who are the sort of megaphones for misinformation that the city has operating, that, you know, that kind of covers their ass as they proceed to shit all over the poor. That's all with the idea, of course, of removing the dirty poor from visible sight. So let's begin with the audio track of a video that Brent has posted called The Outdoor Living Ordinance, Where Are We Going From Here?
Well, here we are a few days after the second city council meeting about the outdoor living ordinance. We saw some protest movement action, and there's been a community of protests building up. You've got the classic homeless protest activist tendency playing out. It's good, bad, and ugly. There's a lot of really good things happening in that space, community building. It's our community collective challenge of homelessness, but what we really do is enter these spaces frustrated about the city government, frustrated that a government would want to make it illegal to sleep outside. How dare they? How could they do that? Right? Of course. At the same time, what's been happening in this space all along? For decades, we had been criminalizing homelessness in Santa Cruz. I personally protest protested, marched on City Hall, marched downtown, yelled at City Council dozens and dozens of times. It's D about me.
And I'm going to pause here briefly because while the argument that this has been going on for a very, very long time is true, you know, segregation in the South went on for a very, very long time until the tipping point was reached. And I don't think it was because of some miraculous new reconciliation with the community that allowed that to happen. It was because of a variety of factors, but one of them was certainly the continued protest and pressure and the willingness of a lot of people to suffer publicly around this issue. If you're a fan of nonviolence, and the willingness of others to arm themselves. They'd come out of the military after World War II. They come out of the Korean War. They got weapons to defend themselves. And you don't hear that much about this because it's not fashionable to talk about a military and self-defense response to abuses by the police and by the Klan and by right-wing groups. Although, I guess Antifa is maybe heading a bit in that direction, although I don't claim to really have a real understanding or be, I'm not really following Antifa as closely as I might be. So, well, I did interrupt Brent here in the middle of what he was saying on the video. Let's hear some more.
You know, they don't really want to work with our nonprofit. I do the warming center program, footbridge services center, storage, laundry, showers, electrical charging out at Felker Street, and serving this population of people who sleep outside. In 2017 and 2016, Martin versus Boise suspended all of the anti-homeless laws all over the country. If you can't shelter them, then you can't criminalize them. You can't write citations. And this new police chief, Andy Mills, agreed with that. We're not going to write citations. Right away, this encampment in the Benchlands popped up. We really got to see what happened because I was there every single day. In fact, you can look at this Facebook page, Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz, and look through the photographs of Benchlands, San Lorenzo Park, back from that time, and lots of videos to see kind of what went down. When people come together in these ways, they're no longer criminalized. They can hang out and build encampments together without any guidance, without any community agreement, without any community involvement whatsoever. What ends up happening in this space? Well, unfortunately, the lowest common denominators, as I'll state, begin to determine the vibe, what's happening in this space. Sometimes the most aggressive, coercive behaviors dominate what's happening in this space. It lacks peacefulness, it lacks safety, substance use disorder, mental health, and then people trying to procure these addictive substances that they need.
Now, this is the worst interpretation of what's happened in encampments in Santa Cruz. And certainly there's some truth to it, but in describing it this way, I think the reason that Brent is putting it this way is he has an alternative. He's been up and down the coast and he's done analysis and observation and reporting some years ago on sanctuary villages and other encampments in different cities. And he's put a lot of energy and work into that. And he has come up with some answers that he feels are good ones, and I don't think they're necessarily bad ones. It's rather, though, that he tends to think these are, that the impression I get is that these are the only answers that really can be credibly presented, and that other approaches are phony, futile, mendacious even. And he does criticize the city's failure to provide the kind of basic services that his work has been, in a limited way, providing. But he also has this situation where he is, as he's often admitted on my program, walking a thin line because he wants to get financing from the city. Now, some who are really critical of Brent from the left say he's just trying to get a job for himself, he's just trying to be a poverty pimp. I don't think that's true. That's not my impression of what's going on. But it is difficult when the kind of open hostility which Brent has toward other activists shows itself. And I get hostile too. So that's not really an issue that, you know, I mean, I think hostility could be a natural reaction when you're angry about something and you feel you have a better way. Here's more.
How do people with no money get heroin and methamphetamine? What happens when you have a community of space where that's mostly happening? You get a lot of theft, you get a lot of coercion, a lot of aggressive behaviors in that space. I watch it play out. I'm not blanking that over the whole population of homelessness, but that's what we saw in the Benchlands in 2017.
But
the city kind of gave it some structure.